Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got Ryan Callahan from Go Vols 24/7 coming up at 7:30. Big recruiting weekend for the Vols, so we'll get his thoughts on that and where things stand currently for Tennessee and their recruiting for the class of 2023. They did not land Arch Manning, so those Vols fans out there are thinking that
traitor.
The quarterback competition of Arch Manning and Nico in the same year. That had been something.
Joe Milton laughing, both of them.
Down there, peasants.
Yeah,
I'll be throwing the ball on this team.
Step aside.
We'll get Ryan Callahan's thoughts on all that coming up at 7:30. The Rex Rant at 7:45. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock as well. Joe, it's an interesting week in the NFL. Beginning tomorrow, the disciplinary hearings beginning for Deshaun Watson, quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and reports over the weekend indicating that the NFL is searching for a pretty lengthy suspension for Deshaun Watson of at least a year. I think indefinite was the term that was used. Adam Schefter reporting this over the weekend along with some others as well. NFL intends to argue for an indefinite suspension that could last at least 1 year for Deshaun Watson. So at least being the key words in there that stands out to me in terms of what they could be looking at here. Now, we'll see what happens. Of course, the NFLPA is going to argue against that, and it's going to lead to this whole big thing. So I have no clue where this is eventually going to land, but feels like the NFL is trying to throw the book at Deshaun Watson here. What do you make of that? What do you make of their chances of making it at least a one-year suspension? And if it is, how about that contract for the Cleveland Browns? Amazing stuff.
Well, yeah. Look, first of all, I think I do look at these things through like the PR lens, and I think that the NFL looks better if it's perceived as pushing for like this incredibly long suspension. I still have my doubts it ends up longer than a year. I think but also if you go this route, you have an appeal process, which, by the way, Goodell, you know, can rule on the appeal, or he can call on someone independent. I don't know how he would handle that. There will be an appeal. There's no doubt. Still think it's going to end up coming in at a year. And I think the Browns, well, I don't know. I shouldn't make assumptions, but I think the Browns had an idea that maybe it'd be a throwaway first year given the situation. Maybe not. I mean, I know that there was a lot of talk, and it seemed to be very popular in league circles that six games was going to be the thing. And if it was six games, you know, can you hobble through, be 2-4, get him back and still be okay? Maybe that was the thinking. But now they have to be accepting or understanding of the point of the fact that since new information has come out that Deshaun Watson not playing this year is a very, it's a very strong possibility. That's the way to put it.
Oh, for sure. And again, the hearing schedules to start tomorrow, and I have no idea how long that's going to take. But you had, you know, obviously Deshaun Watson, there's 22 women to begin with. Now 24 is the total, and he settled apparently with 20 of the 24. So a lot of people over the weekend saying, well, the timing of him deciding to all of a sudden settle is pretty interesting with the NFL disciplinary hearings coming up, and saying that maybe those two things are connected with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but also I don't think that it really, I mean, I think obviously the Browns want all of them settled, you know, and he has been adamant that no way I'm settling. Well, I'll take this all the way. Well, that never happens. Look, you still have some women who haven't settled. Again, you also have two women who filed criminal charges and are not in on lawsuits against them.
That's
an important thing to probably bring up every time this comes up, because some very predictable commentary on this. I still have my doubts that it would be more than a season. There's nothing that quite compares to this too. Like, we talk about the NFL being consistent. Like, what other situation have we had exactly like this? You know, you've had like the Ray Rice situation,
right?
Domestic assault. You've had sexual assault. You've had other domestic situations. You know, you've had different things, but it's just a different situation. There are no criminal charges. There's also, clearly to me, predatory behavior involved. So,
well, and you're right. There's not an apples to apples kind of comparison with this. Now, I will say Cleveland.com over the weekend reported that the NFLPA, part of their argument against the suspension without pay, is apparently citing lack of harsh punishments for NFL owners linked to sexual misconduct allegations as well. So
sure.
It's not the same, but it's going to be part of their argument, apparently.
And look, the NFLPA has to, that's their job. You know, yeah. I mean, it's the union. They're arguing for the players. And it's a fair thing to bring up. I mean, Robert Kraft and whatever the heck went on down there.
Yeah.
At the place in Florida.
Yeah.
That sort of kind of disappeared. I mean, look at what we're talking about with Daniel Snyder right now.
Yeah.
So, it's a fair thing to bring up for sure. I don't think it's going to result in Deshaun Watson playing football this season. But there's plenty of contradictory behavior and hypocrisy, you know, in league decisions over the past several years.
John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says it will be 8 games at a minimum. That way, the Browns/Watson are not in the spotlight for nationally televised games. This is coming from John on the text line.
Okay.
I mean, we thought 6 was kind of widely discussed for a while. Like, honestly, I heard people before kind of the new information came out talking about a year. And, I would have been on board with that. I just didn't think there was much of a chance that was going to happen. And now, since the new information has come out, I think a year is probably where it's going to land.
Yeah. I mean, public opinion matters. And some of the reporting that's really been done on this is really what it comes down to. I mean, it's not like investigations are uncovering anything. The Browns investigation was like, hey, you're a teammate of Deshaun Watson. Is he a good guy? All right, he's a good guy. Okay, then. Sounds good. I mean, it's just listening to the questioning back, when that press conference happened, it's just like, it's incredible that all the resources you have, but that's the thing. It's intentionally not talking to people. It's intentionally not discovering information that you don't want to discover because you want him to be your quarterback. That's what this is. It's like the self-investigation, in college sports. It's like, how can you not get us in trouble with your investigation but make it look like an investigation?
What continues to boggle my mind, other than just like the pure grossness of all of this, which speaks for itself, the fact that Cleveland gave him a $230 million contract fully guaranteed. Like, I cannot get over that. And I guess there were other teams that could have been willing to do it. Like, if you think back to that time, he turned down Cleveland originally. Like, he turned down the Browns, and then I guess they decided to make the
absolute ironclad offer,
max offer. So All of a sudden he's gung ho ready to go back to Cleveland. But like, I cannot believe the Browns gave him a $230 million contract fully guaranteed with all this swirling about.
I mean, look, and someday, if this is all behind Deshaun Watson and he brings a Super Bowl to Cleveland, then everyone will say it was worth it. And look, let's be honest. What matters? What matters in this league?
Yeah.
One thing, but right now it looks just incredibly stupid.
Well, that's the thing. Like, people were talking over the weekend about, could this end up being one of the worst contracts, maybe the worst contract in the history of sports? Just with everything going on around it and how much money's involved. The thing is, like, eventually he is going to play, whether that's this year, next year, 2 years from now, whenever it is. Like, he's going to play. And history tells us that when he plays, he's going to be pretty good. And he very well could go on to win with Cleveland. I don't know. I don't know what happens there. So,
But to me, you got to win it. Because all this trouble – and you have a lost season, all this stuff. Like, if he comes back and he's really good and they, like, lose or win, like, a playoff game here or there, that to me still – the contract is still in discussion for worst all time. Like, that only changes if he wins the Lombardi and brings it to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, no pressure.
Yeah. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the Deshaun Watson situation? What do you think is the appropriate punishment in terms of his suspension? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see WWE SummerSlam coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 30th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to WWE SummerSlam at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, July 30th. You'll probably see Chase McCabe there, would be my guess. Joe, you going to be a big SummerSlam guy?
Probably not, but speaking of Chase McCabe, so he's out there just letting that voice, letting the world in. Yeah. It's on national TV. Michael Jordan's enjoying Chase McCabe's voice.
Yeah. MJ in the house this weekend.
That was good to see. I had a friend of mine text me like, MJ, oh my God, he's at the track. And I'm like, what else is that washed bum going to do? Just kidding. Look at Michelle. Don't give me your Chicago sports, Johnny come lately stuff.
What is it? The Pistons 3-1 in the playoffs against
Jordan was 1-3 against the Pistons. I give him kudos for finally figuring out a way to beat him the one time. Hope you enjoyed that.
I just like bringing that up as much as we possibly can. Michael, if you're listening right now, you're welcome to call in.
Yeah, is he still here? He probably is, right? He's probably listening on the way to his little private jet back home. Hey, good job beating the Pistons the one time, buddy. Congrats. Here, golf clap for you.
Imagine if we had Michael Jordan today on the show, Darren McCarty tomorrow on the show. What a week it'd be here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Maybe we can get Claude Lemieux on Friday when I'm not here, okay?
You know, apparently Darren McCarty and Claude Lemieux are now friends.
Yeah, that's cute.
Well, that's good.
I'm not friends with Claude Lemieux, Darren. I don't care what you do.
615-737-1025. Dave in Big Rock texting in says, I wish that the NFL would install a lottery-type draft system similar to the NBA. I've been a football fan for an entire generation and watched countless top talent go to the same horrible franchises that consistently make horrible decisions, like Cleveland. This is coming from Dave in Big Rock on the text line. So Dave advocating for a lottery-type draft system similar to the NBA.
Okay, I mean, the lottery system, to me, the reason you do it is because, you know, if you have a lottery, that is going to deter tanking a little bit.
Yes.
I don't think we've had a big problem with tanking the NFL. Apparently we've had some owners who were into it.
Apparently so.
Again, let's go back to ownership behavior. Yeah, there's some questionable ownership behavior. But I guess I don't understand the link here with, like, Cleveland. If you're a terrible team, Cleveland, you're still going to be in the lottery, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just Cleveland as a whole, it feels like they can never get out of their own way.
You know, here's the thing. I just mentioned with Cleveland, with Deshaun Watson. To me, the only way this contract is justified is you win a Super Bowl with him as, like, an MVP-level player. Okay? Like, they've already – like, Cleveland's been pretty good. Like, they won a playoff game 2 years ago. Like, they can be pretty good with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
So.
Which, by the way, like, what's he thinking right now? You got this contract that's fully guaranteed from Deshaun Watson. There's a chance he could end up getting suspended the whole year. You know, we talked about Baker Mayfield maybe to Seattle last week. I guess that may have been the Seahawks' master plan all along. We'll see what happens on that front. But, like, somebody – in the meantime, is going to have to play quarterback for Cleveland this year while Deshaun Watson – I mean, he's going to be suspended. The question is, how long is he going to be suspended? If it's the whole year, like, you going Jacoby Brissett the whole year? I mean, I guess you are at that point. Or Josh Dobbs. Don't sleep on Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and you're going to go, like, 7-10 or 8-9, something like that.
That could be generous, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like a lot of their team. I like a lot of their roster. I think their coach is pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was a coaching change for the positive. But, that's where you're stuck. And as far as Baker every day, I'm sure he wakes up cackling every morning now, right? Like, just seeing how this has turned out. I'm sure, you know, felt all disrespected and, you know, all this stuff. And now, I mean, if you're Baker Mayfield, if you can be honest with yourself, then you have to acknowledge that you have not demonstrated anything to indicate that you are the level of player that Deshaun Watson is. But at the same time, there's other factors here.
Yeah.
And you have to be just like, wow, did you guys really do this?
Yeah. Well, what I would like to know that I don't – we'll probably never know, how many teams inquired about Deshaun Watson? But even beyond that, like how many teams were willing to go anywhere near as far as Cleveland? Like how far were teams willing to go to make him their quarterback? Like we know Atlanta was involved. That's why Matt Ryan ends up in Indianapolis. We know New Orleans was involved. Obviously, Cleveland is involved. I mean, I would imagine.
The Dolphins were they were all in
Panthers,
to make the deal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that wanted him to be the quarterback, obviously. Like, I get the talent on the field. You want him to be your quarterback. How many people would have been willing to go as far as the Browns did in order to make it happen? I'd love to know the answer to that question.
I don't know the level of incompetence in the – you know, the Cleveland Browns organization, but I have to think that they didn't just come up with this deal and say, let's just come up with the most ridiculous thing you can come up with and blow everyone off the table. It probably was better than anything he was being offered, but I bet you it wasn't worlds better.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be very fun and funny to just point at the Browns and say, oh my gosh, you're on an island, complete idiots. I bet you there were other deals that wouldn't have been all that far behind this one. Well, I don't know that for sure, but
part
I bet
that I can't get over. Which, look, the money is one thing because it's the NFL. I mean, you're printing money in the NFL, so the fact that it was $230 million total in the contract, it's a lot of money. I don't know if that necessarily surprised me that much. The fact that it's fully guaranteed is unbelievable to me with all this stuff going on. Like, the fact that that Cleveland made it fully guaranteed is just insane. And I don't know the ins and outs of the contract, but my guess is he's going to get every bit of it, even if he doesn't play this year. Like, it's going to be amazing to watch this happen. And the fact that it's fully guaranteed, knowing if you're Cleveland, that he's probably facing a suspension of some sort heading into all this. Now, we'll see what the number ends up being. The fully guaranteed part of the contract I can't get over.
Yeah. Well, and you know, look, it was also structured with this in mind. But, yeah. I mean it is kind of amazing just when you look at the league. So what's number two in overall ever guaranteed in a contract? Is it the Aaron Rodgers deal? Is that right?
Yeah.
150.6. So in this league – $80 million more guaranteed money than anyone's ever had for a dude who we have all learned is a creeper.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if too many things say it all better than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Now, and then the question becomes, like, once the disciplinary hearing is over and they come up with their suspension, you're right, there's going to be an appeal process. Whenever that's all over with, and we have a resolution of, all right, this is how long he's going to be out. Like, how do you move past this? Like, if you're a Cleveland fan, like how often when he comes back and he does play, like, is this going to be something that gets mentioned with Deshaun Watson, like, every time he plays? Like, I'm interested to see how long this drags on. Now, I think some of the answer to that is how well does he play? Because, like, if he comes back and, you know, he's lighting it up out there, my guess is, unfortunately, this probably gets forgotten to some degree for most people. But I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Well, yeah, look.
If you're the NFL, how do you handle it when he comes back?
Well, if there's a – because I'm trying to think of other, you know, prominent athletes who have had something massive like this who then came back and performed. I mean, the one thing that comes to mind is Kobe Bryant. I mean, that was
– yeah.
You know, and which, again, that went away, but it never really went away.
Right.
But over time, it wasn't something that was brought up. And that was, I mean, frankly, it's not apples to apples. So I don't even know that I want to compare the situations. But the bottom line is that the allegations of what Kobe did with one woman are more serious than the allegations.
Yeah.
They are. So that eventually kind of got forgotten, and now it was brought back up again, you know, when he died, because it is a very complicated legacy, you know. But I think with Deshaun Watson moving forward, yeah, It's not like it would be like every time he throws a touchdown pass. Deshaun Watson, who had, you know.
But look, I'll say, and this is a completely different situation, two totally different things. But it was brought up a lot, like when Michael Vick came back. You know, he had the dogfighting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he came back, and he was in prison, and he comes back, and then, like, every time Michael Vick did something, Michael Vick's back in the league, and dogfighting was always brought up when Michael Vick was back in there. I know it's two completely different things, but I just use that as an example of that position. Like, that never left Michael Vick, and, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, and that's the thing, too, is, like, with Watson – again, there are a lot of people whose only dealings with him are completely positive.
Right.
Again, Mike Vrabel has talked in the past about what an incredible person he is. And Vrabel was there with him. And there's no reason for Vrabel to think or say otherwise at that point, you know? I mean, there are a lot of people who – I'm sure there are some people in his corner who are trying to look at this stuff and say the media is twisting it, or, you know, you can go ahead and – pretzel your brain if you want on that stuff and blame the messenger. But I think a lot of people have probably come to that, looked at all this stuff and said, my gosh, like, he has a problem.
Yeah.
I think frankly, the way things usually go, if he serves this penalty and there's no more new information, which I'm not confident there won't be, but let's say there isn't, they get through everything, settle, he sits out a year, all that stuff. If he comes back and he's a great player and everything, it will be less and less discussed. That's how I would think it would go.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ryan Callahan from Go Vols 24/7. We'll get his thoughts on a big recruiting weekend for Tennessee and where the Vols sit as they head into the 2022 season just around the corner. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan Callahan from GoVols 24/7, who is the recruiting editor at GoVols247.com. Ryan, how's it going? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Ryan, big weekend for Tennessee on the recruiting front. What were a couple of highlights for the Vols over the weekend with Josh Heupel and company?
Well, let's start with the fact that it was kind of a throwback weekend in some ways in recruiting, because sometimes you get guys on campus, guys, you know, maybe make their decisions, but they wait, they plan their announcements, and they do it later. They don't announce commitments during visits too often. Tennessee got two commitments during an official visit weekend. That's a pretty good weekend, and something you don't see all that often these days. You do sometimes, but it's much more hit and miss. Good weekend for Tennessee on that front, getting a couple guys that they've wanted for a long time. John Slaughter, the safety from South Haven, Mississippi, announcing on Saturday, and then on Sunday, getting Jeremiah T. Lander, linebacker from Georgia. Again, both guys that they've offered more than a year ago and pursued pretty heavily for months. So addressing those needs on defense with those guys, and then some big name players on campus also that they I think really made moves with and at least put themselves in a pretty good position coming out of this busy month of June. A dead period for recruiting started this morning. Can't host visitors for the next 4 weeks, so this was the last chance to host visitors, and certainly by design that Tennessee got some important targets on campus, kind of that last visit before so a lot of upcoming summer decisions for these guys. And Tennessee certainly, I think, is positioned well with a lot of guys who were in town yesterday and a lot of guys who were here the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, Ryan, I'm watching them play last year, and early on I'm like, boy, they're gonna recruit well offensively. You know, like people are going to want to play in this system. But big defensive recruits, I mean, that seems to be a good sign, right? I mean, obviously they've got to build up that side of the ball. They got to be better moving forward. So how do you view that, just defensive recruiting? And then just, I guess, big picture, like, how would you assess the state of this program recruiting? You've covered it for a long time through a lot of different head coaches. What would you say is just the overall state of recruiting with Tennessee football right now?
I think it's in a good spot. One of the better. They're currently on their way to having a chance to have one of the better classes we've seen Tennessee have in the past, 10, 12 years. I think there's still a pretty wide range of possibilities for how this class ends up. But the bottom line is they've got a five-star quarterback, obviously Nico Iamaliava, heading up this class. And anytime you've got that and you've got the quality of players they have at the top of this class, Caleb Herring, the edge rusher from Murfreesboro, and Davis, top 100 player at tight end and from the Atlanta area. So you've got guys like that at the top that give you a chance to finish with a top 10 class if you keep stacking that kind of talent. But it depends on how many of those battles they can win over the next several months. But yeah, they're in a good spot. And when you consider that, they had a nice year last year, of course, 7-6 in their first year under Josh Heupel. But I think you'd be a bit ahead of schedule in some ways if they can finish with that kind of class. So it's obviously a different world now with NIL and everything like that, and that opens the door for a lot of teams to be, maybe more competitive and level the playing field a little bit in recruiting. But it's a very competitive landscape even at that, and it's certainly not easy to win any battle. And I think we're seeing that right now with some of the things that so recruiting battles can change on a dime with some of that stuff, and it makes things dicier than ever before in some ways. So. But yeah, I think Tennessee is in a good spot, and I think a lot of it is just sort of the stability or perceived stability of the program and just the direction they seem to be headed based on last season.
Ryan Callahan from GoVols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Ryan, you brought up Nico there. What sort of an impact has just getting his commitment had on this class, and what sort of an impact do you think it will continue to have down the road for Josh Heupel?
Yeah, so I'm maybe a bit more of a skeptic when it comes to peer recruiting than a lot of people that cover recruiting might be. I think it definitely matters, and I'll never downplay completely the impact it can have. But I kind of thought from the beginning the biggest impact he would have would be just in sort of opening some doors for Tennessee, giving you the opportunity to get guys on campus, making it more of a making Tennessee a hotter name in recruiting than it was before. And there's no question he's done that. But at the end of the day, I still think most players, when it comes down to it, make the best decisions for them individually, whether that's based on playing time, what they think is going to get them to the NFL, the most or is most likely to get them to the NFL, NIL opportunities, whatever it is, they're going to look out for themselves first and foremost at the end of the day. So does it definitely help Tennessee, and has it already helped Tennessee to have Nico heading up to class and recruiting guys? No question. But at the end of the day, it's still tough sometimes. And Carnell Tate, obviously the five-star receiver from Florida who picked Ohio State recently over Tennessee is probably the best example of that. Just Tennessee did a good job in that recruitment. I think definitely led at one point. But at the end of the day, Carnell Tate wanted to go to Ohio State. And so I think, even though Tennessee did a lot of things right in that recruitment and put itself in position to have a shot, he thinks Ohio State gives him the best chance to get to the NFL, and he believed that pitch, and that's just where he wanted to be. So that's going to happen sometimes. So you have your limitations on how much Nico can help, but there's no question he's opened some doors, gotten guys on campus. And this past weekend, maybe the best example, Francis Malangoa, a five-star offensive lineman from IMG Academy in Florida, playing with Carnell Tate down there. He knows Nico pretty well. He's visited twice now at Tennessee with Nico, and they spent a lot of time together, and I think that's the guy that wasn't even looking at Tennessee before Nico committed. So the fact that Nico committed helped Tennessee get him on campus, and it's opened the door for them to have a chance to land one of the nation's top offensive linemen.
So how much of this success, Ryan, do you attribute to Spire Sports, to the collective? How much of a factor you think will be moving forward? And beyond that, do you, as you cover recruiting, has it changed how you view things significantly? Even again, coaches get judged so much for recruiting. They're still obviously very involved, and it's still a lot of reflection of what they do. But those collectives, I would think, from one school to the other, if there's a different situation, can make quite a difference.
Yeah, there's no question it is responsible for at least a portion of Tennessee's success, or is at least greatly contributed to Tennessee's success in this class so far. And and obviously, you know, guys who are looking at Tennessee, you know, whether Nico is the mystery $8 million man or not, you know, as a lot of people obviously think he is, you know, whether he's not, I think that rumor, that perception out there has certainly gotten out to a lot of prospects, and I think it's led to some players maybe having interest in Tennessee that otherwise wouldn't have, because they're curious to see if they can get a similar deal from a program like that. And I think that happens with schools. You know, the report of Jaden Rashada, the quarterback who just committed to Miami, and the reported NIL deal he got. Things like that are going to lead to players taking a look at schools because they hear about things like that and wonder, what can I get? So it does play into it a little bit. But again, you know, at the end of the day, I think most kids are still going to schools, just like we saw with Carnell Tate, that they want to go to. I think NIL is kind of a supplementing factor, the way they look at it. They want to go somewhere that's still best for them, and NIL is often just the kind of thing that puts a team over the top in their eyes. So it's definitely making a difference, but I think you're seeing the perception that kids are only going where the money is definitely a bit overplayed, and there are some guys that are there are some guys chasing the money, but it's a much smaller number of those players, I think, than people realize. I think it's still mostly guys going where they want to go, and the NIL just kind of helps them solidify or finalize their decisions in most cases.
Ryan Callahan from GoVols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Ryan Callahan, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I just realized we got to get Ryan back on the phone. You didn't ask him about Joe Milton. I thought we were going to spend 5 minutes talking about Joe Milton.
Well, yeah, but Ryan's covering the recruiting side of things. So, you know, in due time, we'll all understand that Joe Milton is the 2023 Tennessee football starter, but he's probably not thinking about stuff like that. But next time we have him on, we'll ask him. That'll be the first thing.
Good. Coming up next, it is.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
Cause you make my heart race. Shot me out of the sky. You're my kryptonite.
It's that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day, which may now include a microphone.
This mic needs some kind of therapy. By the way, I saw Michelle pumping your fit. What are you playing here? You
this is One Direction, and I did tell Caroline that I would amp it up with the boy bands for the Rex Rant.
Oh, good.
Oh, goody. Does Caroline like
Productive
One Direction?
Weekend.
Yes.
I should rank my kids on like their music that bothers me.
It's One Direction at the top.
Well, Brennan probably be at the top. Jack's all good. Jack's, you know, he's got the classic rock gene. Did he say any words this weekend, by the way?
He said some.
Okay, cool.
I'm very much a talker, so I was like, hi, how are you? And I probably gave him 50 questions, and he probably was like, stop talking to me. And I officially, like, kind of felt a little uncool. Like, I felt old.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I've never really... Now I feel a little old.
Do you? You're getting there. Okay. Yeah, 25 is ancient.
You are getting there. It, believe me, it just gets worse, which actually is a lot of what my rant is about.
Good transition.
So Katie and I went to the Dave Matthews Band this weekend. Two shows, incredible shows, at Ruoff in Indy, which used to be Deer Creek. So my sub rant on that, by the way, is... even if you're not a big Dave Matthews fan, which I really wasn't, go to one show. Go to one show, and you'll see. It's kind of like the sports equivalent of, like, let's say there's like a team or something you don't like or you're whatever on, but you go, or like a player, but then you go, and then he has a pickup game with like the absolute best players in the NBA, and it's the most intense, greatest game you've ever seen. It's like elite musicianship. At these concerts. Anyway, they're awesome, and I'm like, Katie has actually turned me into like a nerdy Dave Matthews fan, which never ever would have been on the table.
Like Gover's been like 50 times.
Yeah,
so that sounds
like,
you got to top.
So Gover's like a Gover, like, you know, he's a original like Katie. Took me some time, but like I would never miss a show now if I can help it because it's that good. So we had a blast, and I'd like to also tell you that I like beer. Okay, I like beer at concerts. But we saw something the other night, and it's just like, so we have this guy in front of us, okay? And we're on the lawn. We got a nice, we got a blanket down. We got a nice lawn seat, like very low on the lawn. You know, we got there early. This is the second night. And there's like a group of people in front of us, and it's like married couples, and they're talking about, you know, left the kids, this and that. And we got, you know, we're kind of, like, you can kind of hear their conversation. They're having a great time. But this one dude, this one husband is just trash. Like, and to the point, you know, so like early on, you can kind of tell, again, they're right in front of us. So it's just it not affecting our enjoyment at all, yeah. But it's kind of entertaining too. So you can tell early on, like Dave Matthews is singing and this guy's like singing the lyrics, but also like he's like doing like this, like each one. Like he thinks,
air fist pumping.
Yeah, but it, you know, like he thinks he's Anthony Kiedis doing his own concert. So then you know it's really getting bad when like so there was a group of women to the right of them. They weren't with them, and they were like lying down. And they started to take like they were taking like pictures and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and he throws himself into the group, like actually crashes his head on like the knees of this woman who's sitting down like, take a picture of me. Oh, so they're like, ha ha, and take the picture. I'm like, get off me, dude. Okay.
Good gracious.
Then he gets lost. And so now his wife, who's just having a blast, but then she's, it's kind of like you get in the situation like, I'm babysitting my husband now. Now she has to go, like, try to find him. And then they're going in groups to go to find him, and he, like, went somewhere. And I think there may have been jello shots involved. I'm kind of catching some of the conversation. You know, meanwhile, we're just enjoying the whole thing.
Right.
In the end, like, I think they actually got him, like, on some waters. But I'm like, how much of this kind of, like, clearly he's a huge fan of the concert, right? Like, I mean, he loves Dave Matthews. He knew
every
he knew every word. But then, like, I guarantee you, he blacked out like most of the show. And then he turns into a distraction where they have to go find him. Here's the thing. If there's a three in front of your age, you gotta start downshifting.
Yeah, man.
A little bit. If there's a four in front of your age, dude, you got to mix in some waters.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I you know, and again, I don't know. It's one person. I don't know
Joe,
everything
this
that's going on.
Joe, is actually you?
Oh,
was
no.
Oh, no.
No, hey. Yeah, I mean, believe me. Like, I don't want to, like, not remember things,
no. You
know? No. I mean, like, we had fun. Katie and I, we did the Uber thing. We had some beers. We walked. We got the, you know, no messing around. I remember every single moment of both concerts.
And you want to.
Why would you want to get, you know? So, again, I understand that there's different things that can be at work here. But I just feel like it was like a 45-year-old man who, like, thought he was 21.
Yeah.
It's just if you're going to go to these things, I don't want to be – I mean, I'm sounding like the church lady at this point, you know. But just, like, have some water and enjoy yourself.
As Toby Keith said.
Moderation.
I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Maybe that was his philosophy there. But you never heard that song.
I like that line, yeah. Though. Yeah. So, anyway, I feel especially bad for his wife because she was having a blast. Like, she actually was – there was like some dude in a suit. I don't know. He was like a guy in a suit.
He was dressing up for Dave.
Yeah, I don't know. He was like standing over by the concourse, and she like went down and was like dancing with him for like they were all laughing and stuff. And then he turned around and realized that like she was having a blast. She was having her best day. And then like the last 40 minutes of the show were like, oh my God, where did he go? Oh my God, we have to go get him. I mean, yeah, you know, just I felt bad for her. So. Mix in some waters, moderation, enjoy yourself. Remember the things you do in life.
Yeah. Keith on the text line says, sorry about that. It was a fun show, though.
It's okay, man. It's all right. Oh, Drunk Man Band sounds way better than Dave Matthews Band.
People have some very DMB. Strong opinions one way or the other on Dave Matthews Band. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like it. So, like the people that go over that have gone to approximately 1,000 of his concerts, I mean, they think it's the greatest thing ever. I know people that absolutely despise the Dave Matthews Band. I don't really have a strong opinion on him one way or the other, although, admittedly, I've never been to a concert either.
Yeah,
I have been to a Dave Matthews concert a bunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I didn't
he
know
comes
that.
To our like concert venue every summer. I love Dave. Whoa. This is a big moment for the show.
I didn't realize that. You're so cool. I mean, you were already cool, but you're
so
even
cool.
You're even cooler now.
Tell your kids that.
Yes, they think you're cool. Well, the thing with Dave Matthews is, again, I was never a big fan. I respected Dave Matthews. There were a couple songs I liked. There are a couple songs I love by him always. But for the most part, I'm not listening to albums. I'm not listening to music. I defy someone who likes music. Like the first night, they had this jazz preservation band from New Orleans shows up. And these guys are unbelievable, and they're just jamming. You know, I mean, it's just really good. I defy anyone who likes music to go to a show and pay attention to the show and come away and be like, God, that sucked. I know someone out there will be like, he's going to text me right now and say, oh, I went to one in 2004. Oh, it was the worst thing. You know, I think for the most part, you're going to really have a blast. Like, again, not a huge fan. I'm going to go every chance I get.
Johnny on Twitter says, what does it say that I'm in the best shape of my life now? But yeah, I go to concerts, just listen to the music, and I don't stay up as long as I did 20 years ago. There's a 4 in front of my age. This comes from Johnny on Twitter.
Right. And again, there's a 4 in front of this dude's age. I feel pretty confident. As someone with a 4 in front of their age, pretty similar demographics here.
I've still got a 2 in front of my age for the next few months.
You and me,
I'm
Rob.
I'm still not doing this. Like, I ain't.
Right.
I can't do the same things I used to at age 22, 23.
Do I read Brian's text, or is that like...
Nope.
Okay. Nope.
Brian said he'd rather have something... Well, done. Something involving a cactus over, quote, having to listen to that crap again.
See, people have very strong opinions on Dave Matthews.
And he went to a concert. Yeah, if you hate him and go and you like don't, I guess like you're just like walking around or whatever, looking for beers, I guess I can see that. But if you pay attention, man, so good.
Caleb says it's the same with Mumford and Sons. People are either all for them or all against them, it seems like.
See, I think there are a lot of people who are in between. Like, I'm like that with them. I'm I'd go see them. I'm not a huge fan, but I'd check it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I was with Dave. First time Katie brought me to one, I'm like, okay, fine. She's like, this is my 19th show or whatever, you know.
I guess my question would be for, like, the people that have done that have gone as often as they have, like, why do you keep going back? Like, I understand you like... Obviously, the Dave Matthews Band, but like, there are concerts that I enjoy that after about the fourth or fifth time seeing them, I'm like, all right, cool, I've seen him.
I hear you. He's never done the exact same show. And again, it's like he'll take a song and it'll be like 14 minutes, but he'll do something totally different with it. So, I mean, there was a point this weekend where I was like, could we ever have enough money where we could just follow these guys around
just
all
go
summer?
The whole time.
Like, we're going to become like Dave Matthews deadheads.
Junkies or yeah. groupies
or that yes. Yeah. or junkies so a lot, see, moderation, folks. Moderation.
I mean, hey, if you got enough money to be in ownership talks with the Predators, you can.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why? Yeah, so I might take, yeah, who knows, maybe next summer, maybe might just take off the summer, follow Dave around, you know.
Yeah, right. Keith texts back in and says it's a high 4 though, Rex.
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm gonna hold on to the 4, okay? Long as I can hold on to it.
615.
Once there's a different number for my name, I will never mention it again.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Rex Rant, you can check out every morning at 745 here on Robbie and Rex Row. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things Middle Tennessee sports as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Row here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.